Come with us now, if you dare, down a rickety staircase into a dank, dark basement. What awaits? The Saturday Night Freak Show.
Welcome back, ladies and germs, to the Saturday Night Freak Show podcast. Every week, this epic podcast happens, except over Easter, we didn't do it. But we're back now. And tonight, I'm Colin. I'm surrounded by the internet radio superstars.
Tonight, I'm Brent.
I will be Travis for the remainder of the evening.
And a guest appearance from Alex.
Oh,
welcome, Alex.
Welcome to the Saturday Night Freak Show.
I was attracted by your 80s action movie theme, so I'm glad to be here.
Yes. Tonight we watched, well, actually, it's from 1990. Well, it's
just shiny. It's so influenced by the 80s. Let's just call it an 80s movie.
Right? It feels like it. Okay. I Come in Peace, starring Dolph Lundgren. If you're outside of the U.S., you know it as Dark Angel.
Dark
Angel. Actually, it was put out on Blu-ray. It's Dark Angel. So now nobody knows what the hell it is. I saw it in the theater. It was called I Come in Peace.
I saw it on VHS my whole life. I passed it by my whole life on VHS.
And what a mistake you made passing this movie by.
Well, the cover is like Dolph Lundgren looking like, huh? And then the guy with the, like his bleach blonde hair with like a spike coming out of like a sci-fi wrist gauntlet thing, right? And I'm like,
what more do you need, for Christ's sakes? You're watching the Guyver.
I was like, I'll watch Predator. Hey, leave the Guyver out of this.
You know what the box art
was? See our previous
episode,
Guyver.
Was the explosions. Are there explosions on the box art?
No.
There is in the poster. The poster is like Dolph Lundgren running and this explosion behind him, and I think the CD.
What the cover of the DVD lacked, the movie made up for. There were about 100 explosions, right. At least 110, actually.
There were a number of explosions.
Yeah. Towards the end, it became rapid fire. They just needed it.
But it's Joel Silver, so.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Oh, I thought you said it was.
No. Well, I said it was like they were trying to do 80s era Joel Silver.
Who did make this?
Actually, the director is a guy named Craig R. Baxley, who I knew because he made another awesome 90s movie.
Awesome in quotations?
Speed. Say Speed.
Tango
Stone
and
Stone Cold.
Ooh.
Stone Cold.
Was the wrestler like, in it or no?
With the Stone Cold.
Brian Bosworth and Lance Henriksen. He's an undercover cop and he gets into the biker gang.
Nope.
Huh.
Oh, nope. Christ over sakes. All of our heads.
No idea.
What? It was the first movie that I ever saw where a guy killed a helicopter with a motorcycle. He drives a motorcycle out of, I think, the second floor of like the Capitol building of Louisiana and it kills a helicopter.
So that's where the Expendables got it then.
Yeah, this was 1991.
I thought that was like original that? Expendables content.
Wait, but did T2 do it first? T2 was 91, right? They drove that goddamn motorcycle out of there.
Well, but did he
kill the helicopter.
Just like smashed into the window, then like glooped into the.
Then he's like,
pilot's
"Get out!" And everybody lost their minds because it was like the first liquefied guy they ever saw.
Oh my god! First the black and white Michael Jackson video metamorphosis, and now this.
Yeah.
And the water tentacles.
So high adrenaline sci-fi.
Yes.
Action.
Comedy. Little sci-fi.
Buddy
is
cop movie.
Little small caps.
Can we not forget the splash of homoeroticism with the wine drinking scene?
See, this is just, you guys are like overly attracted to Dolph Lundgren. I think that's a...
Well, I mean, I am.
Okay,
I hated this movie, but I am overly attracted.
And I'll second
to Dolph
that. I'm with Travis here. But let's look at the fact that he invited this gentleman, his partner, and I use partner in a very literal term here, into his home.
His F-shack.
His F-shack, as Brent coined
F-shack.
It. Offered him a glass of wine twice.
Yeah.
The second offer was taken, and he chugged it. No sexual intercourse took place. Brent and I were really let down. And then the movie continued. There was a perfectly good pool table for them to bone on. Nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing happened.
Actually,
nothing.
Would that be... What was
He's
the-
like a sensitive cop. Dolph Lundgren, for some reason, in this is like
his name is Jack Kane.
Jack Kane,
but he didn't follow no rules. Did anyone else catch that?
He does not follow no
thing.
Rules.
In order to beat the bad guy, they all had to quit their jobs. There's three people at the end. There's the girlfriend, Dolph Lundgren, and Brian Benben, the partner. They all have to quit.
Yeah,
they got to go against the rules because it's the '90s.
I kind of appreciate that.
A lot of reckless job abandonment, too.
Yeah.
You have to do what's
everyone
right.
was okay with it.
I think everybody leaves.
Yeah.
But they got to do it. They have to, like, get rid of, like, all authority in order to. Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. Like,
well, because Lundgren's the FBI, they want the alien dude or whatever. They're like, wouldn't it be better to research him like all government guys want to do to aliens, you know?
Shades of Predator 2. One was Predator 2. That was 90.
Fuck, one.
1991. Yeah. Yeah. Same
it's
year.
It's still, probably. This movie is a. Phantasm meets Predator meets RoboCop.
Meets Terminator.
Meets Terminator. Oh, the cop scenes. Driving.
Yeah.
Meets Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, it'd be a little bit of... I love the... I actually do love the partner guy from Dream On.
Yeah, Brian Benben.
Yeah, he's a good actor. He's the only anchor to this movie.
Would the scene in the
Would you really
the
call him an anchor
like,
to the
be,
Yeah.
To
you
this know, movie.
Like one of his like or Red Shoe Diaries with Duchovny. This guy looks like a younger Duchovny. Right?
China.
A bitchier.
No,
version,
he looks like a 40-year-old to come.
Well, mixed with like he's kind of an Al Bundy.
He's less puffy.
He's, yeah.
He's kind of a nerdy looking dude. I mean, that's why, I mean, he's I don't know. He's a good, he was like the first Nicolas Cage before Nicolas Cage got big.
Don't
right?
compare him to the Cage.
Well, no, this guy's a good actor.
How am I like not in that movie?
Put the bunny back in the box. Can we watch Con Air? Next time. Next
oh,
time.
No way.
Why couldn't you just put the bunny down?
I think you're right, though. I think that Brian Benben is the anchor to this movie because he's the character who actually has a character arc. He changes by the end of the movie. He starts
That's
off
true,
as
true.
A stiff, like, you know, FBI guy, and by the end of it, he's got to throw it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's literally going by the book.
In yeah. He what was the name of the book? He kept referencing it. I can't remember now.
His boss's name was like Schwinkter?
Switzer.
Switzer.
Schwinkter. That's an asshole, Colin.
Well, his boss was an
this
asshole.
The book of Schwinkter told me.
But I actually thought that was like, I don't know. I thought that was almost the lamest part of the movie because I thought, like, when you find out there's, like, okay, there's the weird alien spinning disc that is the only proof of aliens, and they give
which
it
which he shoots out of his wrist. Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Just like Predator.
Yeah, true.
And it's not that weird. It's a CD from the 90s. I mean,
yeah.
That's where I get the Phantasm idea from. I don't know why. I mean, yeah, it's not a silver ball, but it's like,
silver
man,
spinning
the silver
disc.
Spinning disc. It just seems like Phantasm.
That ricochets around the room and cuts everybody's throats.
Why does the speaker stop it?
Was it
never
like
really
something to do with like
the nope. magnet
the
and
frequency
the speaker?
Or something?
No, they did. The scientist guy, oh, what is his name? Bob, who
was
all
caffeine
hopped up on the caffeine.
Just fucked beyond his
That was a great character too. I thought, wow,
especially his freak out where he did like the backflip and then just had his feet behind his head. That was perfect.
That was yeah. pretty crazy.
Well, did you see the? Were you there for the moment where he's like, it's like turning your radio dial to KILL. He was like,
I missed that part. Why did I get off?
There was he said that the thing the disc is attracted to a certain frequency, negative whatever the hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
his science is a little sketchy.
He
but
can program it to basically.
He made sure to say reverse polarity.
There you
that
go.
Way he's like, I'm a science guy, reverse polarity.
Well, that's why I thought it was the magnets, right?
Yeah, but you tune it to attract like the field that's put off by the human body or the energy of
the neck.
Yeah, the
which leads us to the next point. How did all of the laser discs hit people in the neck? Neck
super
seeking.
Alien. Super
technology.
Alien technology, yeah.
It was.
Aliens have that technology.
Yeah, he just knows what it's doing. Well, he hit Brian Benben in the arm, thank God. Didn't take his arm.
That's because he was not supposed to die.
But I thought that Dream On guy, like, when you find out that he's the one that, like, kind of double-crossed Dolph Lundgren and he stole the disc for the FBI or whatever, I'm like, holy shit, got so like somewhat real in this movie.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're just like, we're going to have to kill you now. And it's like, oh, fuck, now he's like,
his boss double-crosses
now
him, he's like,
yeah, they
sure.
kind of threw that away. Like, that could have been a good, because we were waiting. There's a running joke with the strikes in this movie. That's one. That's two, and we're waiting for three, and then possibly four. But like at the
like
point,
somebody's gonna get fucking punched.
And what he keeps or telling Dolph Lundgren, yeah. like what the rules are, or something.
Yeah, well, three was the most underwhelming, and then we felt a hint of four coming.
Yeah,
and that's
just,
it.
Just cock blocked. We didn't even
right.
get it.
Now I'm just gonna tell you what I think about you.
Here's a life lesson, and I'm gonna get in my car where there's a dead alien in the back seat, and no one cares.
That's what happened. Yeah. Well, Dolph has been telling him that there's aliens.
Dude, I thought the alien, like, original series Star Trek has, like, better just ideas for aliens than the filmmakers. It's like they put in, like, white contacts, They were all like had gigantic, like receding hairlines.
Yeah. Well, there was gigantic Kevin Nealon, who was the good alien, who I thought was the bad alien from the start, because the bad one kept saying he came in peace. He never came in peace. He wanted his endorphins.
And that's all he says.
That's all he says.
Oh no, he just say I win.
And they didn't even like tell you. It's like, so what? Did he see human transmissions of our movies? So he knows to say that. They just didn't even touch on it. Like, name of the movie.
Well, and if he made it, if he made it out, more would come. But if you kill him, no one else is going to come back. They're not going to worry about their dead friend. They're not going to be like, hey, what happened to fucking, you know, long ponytail guy? He's been gone for a while and there's no endorphins here. And then they killed him and it's like, you know what? He's gone. They're not going to even try to research where he ended up.
Now that you mentioned the endorphins, we might as well spell it out to the audience just in case. But So, the idea is as our cop, our Dolph Lundgren detective characters are researching heroin deals and whatnot, we also have, like, a drug-dealing, like, alien that this rare drug somehow comes out of endorphins.
Well, he steals the heroin from the feds. He injects that through his little, whatever, the, like, Spider-Man thing that he's got.
Yeah, there's like a little,
scorpion.
Like,
the scorpion tail. He sticks that in your chest, pumps you full of heroin. When the endorphins are released in your brain, he fucking puts a spike from the top of his wrist into your head and sucks the endorphins out.
It's the RoboCop data spike.
Yeah. Only going right into your forehead.
Into the cranium. Brains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so apparently back on his planet, human endorphins are the drug of choice. Now, so I mean, basically this movie is a big cautionary tale about the drug trade then, right? They're making alien drug dealers.
It's like the cocaine cowboy. Like that whole like Florida, like, Cuban cocaine thing. I mean, that's what like all these like late 80s, early 90s movies were about, right? It was all cocaine, heroin, the you know.
But they make it so like, I mean, because I was asking at one point, like, okay, so is this guy just the dealer? He's just the procurer, or is he addicted to the stuff? Because I never really got the idea of the alien who just says, I come in peace and fuck shit up all over the place, was actually like hooked on the drug.
Right.
No.
It was just like, I need this to take it back to my home planet.
Yeah. Until the end when he got oddly aroused when Dolph would dangle it in front of him. He had that creepy smile.
But I couldn't tell if it was like because of like what it's worth.
It was like monstrous.
Or because I'm hooked on it and I need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. It was never clearly laid out to us.
So, I mean, like, if the human endorphins are what these aliens get off on, you know, that's their drug of choice. Mm-hmm. Are we to assume that there's other aliens around the around Earth that are doing this?
No.
Oh, I come and please too.
I come and please. The fact that they're already hooked on it.
I come and please you. That's the sequel, guys. I just wrote it.
But doesn't there have to be like a past of this going on?
I don't know.
On?
That's why it's like rare. There's like 6 billion humans on it, and he's like going crazy over three little vitals. So this it's just like how
he made it seem like it was a come out, like there was no way that he would ever find more. It's like there are just people everywhere.
Yeah.
He just
I mean, maybe if like they would have explained like maybe there's only a certain like biological, like, you know, a certain biological group that produces a certain type of that would have made sense to like, yeah, it's rare because it's like blood type
it's
O.
It's the 90s.
Like, yeah, man, Dolph Lundgren, gun. Cha-ching.
An explosion and gun.
Which reminds me, Brent, thank you. I was about to jump to that point here. There were only 2 explosion guns. They literally shot fire and explosions.
They shot explosions.
Unlimited ammo, like, and you had to turn it up to
explosions.
How did it reset from level 1 to 4? There were levels of charges, and it always happened to go back where it would just jam up.
But and no matter what, aliens. It seemed to be the same, like...
Yeah, there was an intensity level that jumped up.
It was just like,
we gotta get it to fucking 4, otherwise we won't kill him.
Holy shit.
Oh, God, that was amazing, though. I can't think of another movie. Like, maybe
it's like RoboCop.
Like,
it's
Rambo 3 had as many explosions as this. I don't even know
the explosions, like Hindenburg documentaries, don't have fucking, like...
It's like Forest on Fire. It's just amazing. There's always stuntmen, like, running through buildings that are blowing up behind them. Yeah. All like, from this gun.
Well, speaking of running, they all ran like girls in this movie. The guy had the least intimidating run ever. If he were chasing me, I would not be scared one iota.
I was thinking about that. I mean, so it's got to be like, it's like, well, we've got either like the track, like either whatever type of vehicle our track our camera's sitting on can only go like backwards at a certain amount of speed, or our cameraman can only go back. Yeah. So everybody's like trying to like purposely slow down their jog so they don't just like run into the camera super quickly.
Or they had so an 8-foot giant who couldn't run fast enough. So they just had a
giant
leap.
He had alien strength. Yeah, he jumped
like,
from the,
he's seven,
the
yeah,
ground
7 feet tall.
Through like a second story window.
But no, there's so many gadgets in the trench coats that I think is slowing them down.
Why are they
like
trench coats?
Well, I don't know.
Cool.
Yeah, I think it's because
dusters,
like,
because
like the CD. Well, the heroin shit isn't going in their body, right? Like the
no, they're like putting a cool little like
yeah.
Oh, on his belt.
Yeah, he's got the cool little thing that opens up, and you know it's like certainly sci-fi tech when there's oxygen released.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if this were made in like the late 90s or early 2000s, instead of a, like a duster, they'd have cargo pants because that's more practical and it would fit with the times. But in the 90s, a duster was.
It is
what
a duster.
You would use.
Yeah, it's a hell of a, pretty, hell of a nice duster.
Yeah. It was a sharp duster.
Alien technology. They would have thought of cargo pants before we did.
It's pre Crow.
They would have.
Right? Yeah.
They would have.
Yeah.
So no, that was just the Hollywood
thing.
Black leather jacket.
Black leather jacket.
Speaking of jackets, when he gave his partner the tiny jacket that somehow fit him, and then he explained it immediately, it was his when he was 12, yeah, which led us to believe like Dolph Lundgren loves 12-year-old boys.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
He went to the closet, he was taking off his clothes.
He came out of the closet.
He came out of the closet.
Very fittingly.
Jacket. He's like, here, put this
what
on.
What the hell? He owed it to the ladies. It's part of his deal that you gotta take your shirt off at least
one. One woman in the
not to jump to the end, but at the end when he's like, we're going to Maui or whatever the fuck.
Yeah,
there's like the his FBI little Weasley partner's like, nah, Maui. Like, you're not invited.
Like,
dude,
guess what?
Dolph is taking
her ass.
Yeah, I'm gonna go wreck this chick on an island for like the next 5 days.
Well, that just further proves like the misleading gay tendencies that he had. Like, the little partner thought that Dolph was gonna take him home at night. He just wasn't going to.
Dream on, dude.
I felt that though. I really did. I mean, this whole movie to me is, I mean, they're just like trying to like, we'll have a like a fucking cheesy by the numbers action movie, thinly veiled with sci-fi. But I bought the friendship of Jack Cage and other guy.
Yeah,
other FBI guy.
Did you say thinly laced with fantasy or
thinly? Because it's like, okay, you're watching this.
There
movie.
Were literally two aliens with fire guns shooting discs at people.
And
like,
they were like,
"There's no like, we just worked in a little bit of space
but they
stuff."
Only like, no,
it's pretty fucking thick, man.
You just explained it. They just peppered in. So it's like you're watching a USA Network cop drama between Dolph Lundgren. And
by pepper, do you mean they used a fire hose of it? Because all I saw was just ridiculous shit from space.
But and man. Also I mean, didn't at the end or in the third of the film, third of the way through the film, didn't the Dream On guy hold a gun to Dolph Lundgren's head and he's like,
yes.
I've been fucking you over this whole time.
yeah
because
he stole the disc. Yeah, because I was wondering that. I'm like, okay, I mean, even when you're sitting there watching, it's like the guy, he leaves the disc with his science buddy, and then, you know, somebody has broken in and stolen the fucking thing from him. It's like, who the fuck else would know that this guy had this thing? It had to be the Weasley partner.
Right. Yeah.
True. And well, the Weasley partner was when he went and messed up his house, too, when he was in there. So...
Oh, right.
I didn't catch that till like 5 minutes ago.
But he's thinking,
that's true.
But I just connected the dots.
In like defense of this character, that he's thinking that the government, the American government, is like true blue. Like, you know, he's trying to be like this honest
government
guy.
He's just been on the job for like a year or something.
He just doesn't know that the government wants to not stop the aliens, but observe them and,
contact.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's just like, what are you talking about? Every government guy.
We
got
to kill
like,
Dolph Lundgren because he just wants to kill it. Well, yeah, that's what you do. It's a fucking alien.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did
you roundhouse kick it.
Oh, so many roundhouse kicks. Only one
Dolph
failed
Lundgren,
one, too.
When he was younger, had like the fucking, he had
the
he
dexterity
do the
to do that. No, I think he was about 9 for 10 in roundhouse kicks, too. Except that one where he just got stonewalled. Like, no, this is going to work. Chuck Norris
but
taught me. Yeah.
He's got nothing on Jean-Claude Van Damme, though, right?
I mean, wow.
Well, I mean,
but who does?
The muscles from
he can speak better English.
Yeah, that's true.
But Van Damme has his own ice castle from Coors. labs. So.
Yeah, but Dolph Lundgren's a goddamn chemical engineer.
Chemical engineer. And with
3 degrees in it. Well,
yeah,
that
and
mean?
Different. There's an Australian degree.
Sydney and somewhere else.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, he's a chemical engineer. Wow. That's why they made him a genius in Expendables, because it's kind of like a play on his actual personality.
What, like he's a dumb shit when he talks? It just, like, there's no
he's
way you would ever
think. He's just a... I mean, an actor is only as good as a director can explain a character and a the type of movies these guys get. Be like, dude, just say, like, you come in peace, go in pieces.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, I could do that.
Yeah. How much money is this?
I really appreciated the nod to Commando with the end, which I was just fingers crossed was going to happen. It did.
Yeah.
They had some foreshadowing with that pipe when he got into that fight with him. And sure enough, how did it get stuck in the wall? Does anyone remember?
Like, it was a pipe that was broken. Yeah, it was in the
broken pipe.
Because that was where the fire was earlier from like the 50 explosions.
Yeah, I tell you, this movie's kind of a blur to me.
Yeah.
I totally got it. Yeah. I got this movie.
You got it. Yeah, I get it.
Well, explain to me then, Colin. All right,
here we go.
Explain to me the beginning with the heroin.
Okay, like,
with the white boys.
With the white boys.
Right, do we even mention them?
We haven't yet.
The white boys is a gang of drug dealers that are all, like, they have an office, I want to say, like, you know, and a board meeting. Bunch of yuppies in suits. So they steal the heroin from the Federal Reserve building and then blow it up afterwards, because you got to do it. They blow the fucking building up.
No witnesses.
And then when there's a... And then they go to meet Dolph Lundgren's original partner, who gets killed, unfortunately, in a very sad scene.
Yes.
And at that meeting, the alien intercepts the heroin.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
That's when he uses...
Wow, I had completely blacked that out.
Yeah, I forgot
blacked
that.
It out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like that's
the thing. Alien doesn't show up again for like another 30 minutes.
No, he cut. Well, this time around, I was sitting there because I saw this, you know, in the theater and haven't seen it, you know, since. But I remember being like, yeah, I remember there being worse movies. This time around, I was like, man, they really are doing that scene where he grabs somebody, throws them on the ground, rips their shirt open, injects them. They did that at least 3 times. It's like,
yeah,
that was when you saw the alien for the first like half of the movie. Was him just doing the same scene like 3 times?
To Randy's, randoms, you know? I mean, everywhere.
Yeah.
There was a guy like working the forklift.
And it was all like Coke placement, product placement.
Yeah, Pepsi, the Pepsi like, with the,
Pepsi,
the female auto
there was
mechanic.
The Subway.
Subway, yeah. Those are the only two I can actually recall.
Well, that's not product placement. You're driving around downtown LA or wherever the hell they shot this.
The
thing,
Pepsi, because it's like the woman was working on the car with that Pepsi, like just there, and she keeps like going back and forth in front of it until the alien kills her. It's
just
like,
opens up her pack of Camel lights and like
takes a sip and goes.
It takes place in the real world. You want him to go like make packs of Morley's?
That's my argument for Castaway. That's why you have FedEx. Sorry, that's a different podcast.
Oh, you're very adamant about that. You've been coming under attack for the Castaway thing.
I used to. It's Robert Zemeckis. It's a touchy subject. Yeah,
but I think the like Dolph Lundgren, chemical engineer that he may be. I mean, I like the way
and black belt.
And he speaks like 5 languages, not fluently, but he speaks 5 languages. I mean, he knows more shit than I do, probably, right?
Mm-hmm. But I'm sure.
He's not the strongest dramatic actor. So in this movie, I think it's kind of cool that they surround him with people who actually can act better than him.
But like,
you know, so he's like the kind of...
But he Sylvester just comes Stallone, off as, Schwarzenegger, I mean... None of these fuckers can act. Not
no,
fucking
but you know
one
what they've
of them
got? You know
can
what,
act their way out of a paper
but
bag.
What Stallone and Schwarzenegger have that Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren don't have is they've got charisma and personality. Like Dolph Lundgren, I mean, you saw this movie. He's like kind of like, yeah, okay. And I go over here and I'm going to think about this. I'm going to kick you. You know?
Yeah.
Right? And
I'll agree with that.
And Van Damme's basically the same type of thing. You know, it's like, I'm going to come over here. They don't, but Schwarzenegger and Stallone
when was
have a bigger.
Van Damme like a small Mexican guy. I'm going to come over here. Mow your lawn.
Ooh.
That was an awful, awful impression. That was bad.
That was my terrible French. So, yeah, no, I think, though, you know, they put Brian Benben, you know, and the girlfriend. I thought she was, like, a better actor than Dolph Lundgren.
Dolph Lundgren's female. Schwarzenegger couldn't
I don't know about the girlfriend. I don't know.
I'm not sold on the girlfriend either.
She was, like, bland 90s actress.
Like, yeah. If you're not serious,
perky.
I'm going to put water in your lungs. Yep.
You dare forget my birthday again.
I don't understand what the fight was about because like...
Oh yeah, we never found out. He was gone for 8 days. I can understand if you were gone for 7 days, but you were gone for eight fucking days.
Everybody. 8 days? Nope. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't get it. We never find out where he went.
I mean, I think the idea is that he's never around because he cares too much.
He was undercover with his buddy with the heroin thing. That's what he was doing for 8 days.
Oh, was he undercover
too? His boss would have known.
Yeah. Well, no, because he went off the wire. Yeah. Don't you know all that?
Why do cop bosses always like their biggest threat is, you're on vacation now? And it's like, well, is it a paid vacation? Just, why are these cops so concerned about not being able to be in the face of murder? Because I love you, Jack. I just love this. I'm so concerned about it. No, just
you're one of our best detectives.
Take your fucking vacation. Go home. Drink a beer. Go to Maui, right?
Like, you could have
done
that
earlier and wouldn't have to fight the robot alien or whatever. So,
it's the sequel, right?
That would have been better.
You got to go to Rio and get Hastings or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Manning.
Thank you very much.
It was
a drug dealer that killed his partner. That guy's in so many movies. We should know better movies of his.
Yeah. I don't know his Warren name, Manning. But I know who his face
I know. I know who his face.
Yeah. And he's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
he has. Mm-hmm. Well, you're not talking about the principal from Growing Pains.
No, but
that guy's been in stuff too. I just
was that him.
That was him.
That was really? Warren Manning.
I thought you were joking. I had no idea.
That really is him.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. Right. I don't know what else he's been in, but like
talk amongst yourselves. I'm gonna look this up so we have to talk. Oh
about
shit! Craig Baxley directed Storm of the Century and Rose Red.
Wait, so really?
Kingdom Hospital.
Wow.
He went to TV and made some of the worst fucking Stephen King things ever. Oh. Action Jackson, that's his.
Wait, wow. Storm of the Century, the Stephen King, made for TV.
Yeah, that's Craig R. Baxter.
I legitimately enjoyed that.
Yeah, everybody gives it shit. I thought it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end was like, you're like a fairy guy that comes against kids. Spoilers. Yeah, okay, that was
spoilers.
Oh, come on, it's so old now, Jesus.
You beat me to punch because I was going to jump the end, but you just took the bad guy role for me. That was perfect.
All right, this is going to blow your mind, Travis. Sherman Howard played Victor Manning, the evil drug, the guy at the beginning.
I thought it was Warren Manning.
But he was Bub in Day of the Dead.
Oh, fucking A, dude.
Bub.
The zombie.
Sure.
He's one of the best zombie makeups ever in history.
Yep. He was in Lethal Weapon 2.
And he really has a sympathetic zombie character.
Oh, yeah. He was great.
Oh, he's fantastic. He's the best part of the whole movie.
Yeah.
He's the best actor in the whole movie. And he's a fucking zombie. Just chained to the wall. Yeah, dude, that guy's good, man.
The other guy is Sam Anderson. He was the other, the deputy Warren, the deputy white boys. He was in Forrest Gump. I don't remember the role. Devil's Due. I think he was a priest.
Mm.
Bones Castle, Justified. He's been in, he's been in some movie, I'm sure, that I recognize. It's not coming up here as I'm scrolling past the fuckload of shit that he's done. I'm going to give up here. He was in Lost. Medium? Anybody?
Okay. What other movies was the alien bad guy in? That guy looked really
familiar.
Wasn't
he in Happy Gilmore? He was...
His name was Matthias Hughes.
Kevin Nealon, right? Wasn't that him?
I think he did a stint on Weeds.
Yeah.
He was the good guy alien. The bad guy alien.
Oh, yeah. He was Raiden
in Mortal Kombat. He was Oscar the Lion Tamer in Big Top Pee Wee. Anyone? Big Top Pee Wee?
Wait.
He was the second Klingon general in Star Trek VI, the undiscovered country.
Oh, my God.
The second.
Oh, of course.
He was good. Can
I forget about that?
He's in a bunch of stuff that's like Age of Treason, Fist Fighter 2, Death Match, Fists of Iron, Droid Gunner. Oh, yeah, I mean, he's done a bunch of awesome stuff. Executive Target, Cyber Vengeance.
Who's the jackass who came up with Fist Fighter 2?
Dude.
More importantly, why were there two of them?
Fist Fighter.
No, man, Fist Fighter was a hit. We got to do the second. Let's do this.
Fist Fighter. That's the best, man. Oh, my God.
They're fighting with their fists.
Huge in, Germany or something. I don't know. Where is this guy from? I don't know.
Right. Oh, they're all from Switzerland, Germany, freaking not here.
Not here.
I still love the name Jack
Stallone,
Kane,
right? Stallone's the only American tough guy. Well, and Seagal and Norris, right?
I forget Stallone's American.
I know, right?
He just talks like such a dipshit.
So,
I ain't punchy, I may have what they call a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy,
That's a pretty spot on. For the viewers,
my wife.
For the viewers at home, that's not Robert Sylvester Stallone, not even close. I believed it. I actually thought he was here for a second.
Travis can do anybody. You say a name, he'll do him.
All right.
Don't do it.
Carrot top.
Carrot, yeah. I've never heard of him.
Give me a carrot top right now.
Give me Droopy right now.
Droopy? You know what, folks? I'm the star of this picture.
Yes. All right, Michael J. Fox.
Doc, what? Wait a second. You created a time machine?
I always say that's more like young McMarty from Back to the Future 2.
Can we get a Nick Cage?
I don't have a Nick Cage. I look like Nick Cage.
That's probably why I asked you. I'm like, oh, is he here?
Yeah.
His face on. Right. His face on.
No, I can't do it. So I come in peace. Oh, yeah. We watched this movie. We did watch this movie tonight.
We did.
This fucking movie is so
forgettable. Well, I think it was interesting. No. Oh, it's totally not for you. This movie's going to haunt your dreams for days after.
I will forget this movie.
This is a pinnacle of 1990s action cinema. Okay, so here's what I would like to see about it. Like, it kind of came and went at the movie theater. I remember it was like it played two weeks. You know, there's a bunch of shit that came out at the time, like Popcorn. You remember that movie?
Popcorn's amazing.
Okay, but that's a movie that like is forgotten to time, much like this one. They came out for 2 weeks and they kind
of
went away.
Popcorn was the scream of its day.
But nobody saw it, and nobody saw it. No, I worked there. Nobody came to see that movie. So this was like, you know, I mean, this was in the day of like The Perfect Weapon with Jeff Speakman. Anybody? No.
Nope.
Yeah. I mean, who else was
Tug
coming?
Speedman?
I mean, it was Jeff Speakman. He was like some kind of martial arts guy. He got a movie. It was called The Perfect Weapon. I think Chuck Norris had movies out like every year. Firewalker,
like Kickboxer,
Hellbound.
Yeah, and the one where he was a hitman.
What was the one with Jonathan Brandis?
Delta Force and all that shit.
Is it Sidekick?
No. Sidekicks.
Was it Sidekicks?
Sidekicks.
Yeah. So that's the era, right? That this movie comes out of. It comes out of the era where Joel Silver was the Jerry Bruckheimer of his day.
Yes.
His Lethal Weapon movies, Die Hard, Predator, all that. He's blowing shit up, and they all have that kind of look. And this movie looks like it wants to be a Joel Silver movie. It takes place during Christmas, like Lethal Weapon.
It has Lethal Weapon.
Like,
you forget that.
Like every half an hour, someone's like, oh, fuck, a Christmas tree. That's
right. Well, there's no snow in LA.
Yeah.
Right? It's definitely California, we're thinking, right? I mean, is it Toronto
it's
or something?
Be. I thought it was like.
I think it's Toronto for.
I always
LA.
Go with Florida just because the drug thing. I don't know why. I always think that when I watch Predator 2.
Yeah, but they're preppy drug dealers, so they're all in.
Using that Cuban, Scarface thing.
There's no Cubans; these are total bleached white guys.
The theme is like the whole Cuban Florida cocaine cowboys thing.
Yeah,
it's the theme of these movies. You know, it's all.
Yeah.
But it's got some decent. It has some decent action scenes, like that chase scene. I was like, you know, as we were sitting
with
there,
the
I'm
cars,
like,
right?
Yeah, there's a car. You know, they got the car going down the sidewalk, and the other guy's in the street, and there's like other cars in the street. Which, like, even in Terminator, when there's that chase, it's very similar to this one. I think it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And there's no one on the road.
Yeah,
right? And in this one, it's like there's pedestrians jumping out of the way. I'm like
personal with the characters and like cool angles of the vehicles in Terminator. Where this is kind of
It's reinforcing the personal chase between John Connor and I don't know. But
you're right.
But it has that great moment where Brian Benben, who has the alien
Magnum.
Gun.
No, it's a Cougar Magnum.
No, but in the chase, he's got the alien gun. He's like, don't worry, I've got this.
That's the second chase.
Is Dolph Lundgren's car SS Monte Carlo?
Right?
I want to say.
I don't know.
I'm not a big car guy, but I'm pretty sure his car.
All I know is it's a car that can drive through a mall.
Yes.
Well, any car from the 90s can drive through a mall.
That's true. Yeah, but that's a good point.
It's very Lethal Weapon, right? It's a Lethal Weapon chase.
That's always worked on me. Any movie where they drive into a mall, I'm like, oh, there's people there.
Mm-hmm.
I get concerned.
They're breaking glass. It's like the Blues Brothers or something.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
They had to have a decent budget.
What is it, the new Toyotas are in or the new Fords are in?
Mall car chase. Good call.
I think they may have.
For sure. Because that's like 84, right?
That's like
80? I want
to
say
83. You might be
really early 80s.
I'll get on
there.
You want to continue this?
Yeah, it could
let's
be
go 83.
Yeah, it could be 83.
Place your bets. Because
if it was 84, dude probably would have been in Ghostbusters.
Colin?
So
Colin?
I'm going 82.
I'm going 81.
I'm not guessing.
My final is 82, yeah. Final.
Yeah, because you're right. It's probably 81. It's probably before.
This place has everything.
What do you have?
I'm 83.
What do you have?
81.
82.
Everyone loses on Prices Right.
79.
80.
Holy shit.
I was
going to say
80. It wasn't your final answer.
Yeah, I know.
Did you know that before they go into the mall, all those cars in the parking lot were like unsold cars at some, from some car lot that they had to bring in. And they were like tearing around the parking lot and they were like, don't hit any of those cars. we still have to sell
we
all
need
of
those cars, guys.
Sure. Yeah. We won't.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, this movie is Blues Brothers, right?
Yeah. So well, this movie had, yeah, budget for, they spent all their budget on gasoline and shit exploding pretty much.
Yes. Oh, really? Yeah. See, I didn't think it was a budget. I thought they just called any demo, like, where's our demolition taking place? Okay, we'll have our actors there. Just hold on until we
they
can have our stunt guys run out of the
cars.
Way. That's what I was, oh, yeah.
There's stuntmen jumping so through fireballs.
Yeah. That's a one-taker, right? I mean, you don't shoot that again.
But
that's
no, once like, it blows up, it's blown up.
And, yeah.
But that's got to be, like, one of the cheapest things to do in filmmaking, right, is to have a explosion or
yeah, because it's just gas, right?
Yeah, or it's just,
or
like...
some kind of...
Sure.
I don't know. Yeah. Barrel of gas.
Some sort of combustion takes place, and that's it.
Yeah, you right? get a bunch
I've
of...
More
I've
movies never, didn't do it.
I've never been... What do you mean more movies didn't
not
do it?
Not to this excessive...
Well, yeah, like, not to this
even
level,
you were
because
sitting there going, like,
they
oh,
saved money
crazy.
On actors. They saved money on... I mean, they saved money
what
on
What are they talking
level.
About? They
no.
had Howard
Can you
Sherman
the
in this movie.
Policies they had to take out for this? Or like, literally, if you sign... There's going to be an explosion no matter where you are. You're going to be in at least 10 of them. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Yeah. They had to write some big policies out for this. I'm
definitely
pretty sure of it. So.
Yeah.
I don't think it was cheap. Does anyone know what the budget was for this movie?
I could probably find that.
I'm okay. going to
let's,
say...
Let's do another wager here.
And you know, like...
1.2 million.
We were talking, like, a
I
lot of those
low.
Scenes were stunt guys, but they're...
I think it shows.
Yeah.
Well, he's looking it up, but I want to make a point about the fact that, like, a lot, Dolph was in a lot of those explosions, or near him.
Yeah.
Because, like, it was... If it were to be green screen or blue screen, it was too good for the time. Because, like, you watch Indiana Jones or something like that, and I think I've said this before in the podcast, but it looks... like somebody has like you know like a it's very fake
there's like a lighter behind him
like yeah yeah it's
yeah, there's
it's,
no green screen in this movie either I mean it's practical I'm not saying it's like
there's Dolph in yeah yeah in or close to explosions
yeah
see, I don't know I don't
ooh, lifetime gross close. $4 million I tell you it was not like a big well it's 1990 money but
yeah so how much
budget not accessible or
so under a million
no budget
assume
yeah,
but for 1990, I would assume, right? Right.
That's all I was thinking.
Like a Friday
at least
the 13th
one,
movie
right?
cost like $1 million. I think back there, maybe three.
What
yeah.
did?
Yeah.
So maybe it's Friday like $5 million movie.
Yeah, maybe. Huh.
All right.
I was maybe it's really more low. Than that, dude. I mean, like you
yeah,
got Dolph Lundgren, who was you know on his way up, but he'd done. He hadn't done.
No, he was
Universal.
On his way out, dude. 90? 90? Because after this
Soldier?
Is probably Punisher or before this maybe, but like, oh, well, yeah, Universal Soldier, fuck, that was like, what, 93?
And that was, I mean, when was he yeah. at the peak of his popularity?
His peak of his popularity had to be He-Man. Motherfucker was Ivan Drago and He-Man. I mean, that has to be the height. It has to be.
Yeah, but yeah. He-Man, did Masters of the Universe do much?
But okay, he still so, got the role
but,
of He-Man.
Wait, but we
got to
say
Drago.
That, well, because he definitely
Ivan
looks
Drago.
The, yeah, he looks the part. That was the next thing
he
did. 2 years
did.
It took between
that.
Rocky IV and Masters of the Universe. He was originally got into acting because he was the bodyguard of Grace Jones when she came to Sydney, where he was going to school. And when she went to Hollywood to be in A View to a Kill, he
Whoa.
Went with and got cast. That was his first movie role as one of Christopher Walken's flunkies.
Crazy.
Huh. So that was A View to a Kill,
that was
Rocky
all from
IV.
Your memory too. You did not just read that. That
and
was
I did
kind of
look it up
speech.
Earlier. No, that yeah,
was,
that's totally from
that was, don't
right
admit
out of my
to cheating,
yeah.
Colin. Just take it as your own.
All right, we got rest. Red Scorpion. Anyone remember
nope,
Red
didn't see
Scorpion?
It, but I remember the cover.
That, I remember that went to theaters. The Punisher. He shot in '89, but I don't think it. Was
I get
released.
To see Travis at the video store, like Dolph. Nope.
Look at that. Dude, I'm not an action fan. I'm a martial arts fan, but not a like gun. Shoot him up, blow him up, action.
Oh, guy. Shit. Showdown in Little Tokyo.
I didn't see it.
With Bruce. Bruce or, sorry, Brandon Lee.
Didn't see it.
That was Brandon Lee's first movie.
Rest in peace.
Universal Soldier, 1992. Okay, Army of One, 1993.
I was going to say, like, Universal had to be his top then, right?
And Men of
like,
War, 94.
It's over.
Nope.
The Street Preacher from Johnny Mnemonic, 95.
Really? Is it
yeah.
Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah. Do you remember? Because he had the fucking hair.
See
he
Johnny looked like Demonic. Jesus. I wouldn't see Johnny.
He wandered around crazy. In like a monk's robe the whole time, and then he was a brah, and then he was trying to.
I'm
kill
like proud of that fact. That,
that was
like,
another.
I've
that was a cover
from Johnny Mnemonic.
Travis, like,
for
pass.
Like, oh no! I mean, I saw. I mean, that was advertised in comic book. I mean, that was advertised. Yeah. I was like, I'm not seeing that movie. I buy this dude as fucking Ted Theodore Logan, but like Speed Johnny Mnemonic, I ain't buying it.
Holy fuck, the guy's done like a shitload of movies, but nothing, I think, theatrical since maybe Johnny Mnemonic. So from Johnny Mnemonic through The Expendables, where he's now back with, you know.
Has he been in all three of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
okay.
Gunnar Jensen.
Have you seen the I've seen the first two. I have not seen the third.
I have. I liked it.
I don't think I saw
You liked the third?
I did.
I enjoyed every bit of the first two. They were great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you bring a 72-year-old Chuck Norris into it and play that little whenever he like shoots a gun while he walks slowly.
Well, those movies are impressive because there's like these guys. I mean, Sylvester Stallone, how old do we think he is? In his
59,
62. Oh, I got 64.
You ever seen him like fucking tear it? Like there's a scene where he's
like the old man sprint where he's trying to jump onto that airplane.
But come on, he's fucking 65 years old.
At least he runs like a man. He still runs slow, but it's way better than the fucking fairy that was in this movie.
Jumping and, oh man.
He runs like he's wearing a ballerina outfit. No, you're right. Stallone is definitely way more manly, but you're right.
Than the alien. We're not saying more manly than Dolph Lundgren.
Correct. Lundgren won me over with this one.
I don't know. Did you see how we talked about how he's holding those guns?
He does hold a gun like a lady. We did see that.
Yeah.
And he put it unnecessarily at bricks.
They don't have guys. They don't have guns in Europe.
Well, he had the left hand judo chop just in case he needed it. Like if someone got close quarters combat, just whack.
Yeah. In case something exploded, he's protecting his face from the gun.
Well, he's
back
got a beautiful face. I mean, you gotta protect the money maker. So.
Yeah, the way that the X-Files hold a flashlight, he holds the judo chop.
Oh yeah, you gotta have. Well, he's with the backup. I mean, if he can do it.
That's right.
Take your head off or shoot you.
Yeah, brick wall be damned.
All right.
But he comes from like this era of like these action stars that were like they actually did the shit, right?
The roid stars is what they are.
They're the roid stars.
Yeah, they are.
Ah, God, I miss those days when guys would go and like punch holes in brick walls and shit like that. They don't get that anymore.
Also,
unless they're like bionic now.
Statham, right?
And they did it for real. What?
Statham is the closest thing, right?
Look, Statham blows. Not... I hate Jason
what
Statham.
The fuck?
I'm sorry.
No, I agree. He's not charismatic at all.
Okay.
What are you talking
about? Expendables. In Expendables, he won me over. He was because he could throw knives. He could impale someone if he wanted to.
The transporter.
Oh, good for him, but his heart doesn't work unless it gets recharged by a car battery.
That's
like,
crank,
no,
right?
I'm sorry.
That's the crank.
Is it not correct?
No, that's close enough.
Well, they're all the same movies.
Yeah, same thing.
Right. I would say Expendables is like the closest he's had to a character.
Exactly.
Whoa. Yeah. Ghosts of Mars? No, I'm kidding.
All right, Colin, who wins
who
in the fight?
Who saw that movie?
Let's do this.
Dude, Homefront?
Who saw that?
I saw it.
I got my hand up.
Yeah. So. Podcast viewers, listeners.
Two hands are raised, two hands are not. Yeah. All right, who wins in that fight?
It's James Franco. He's like this scummy redneck drug dealer. And Jason Statham moves home from the military.
Sounds like American Sniper.
Except more badass because he fucking punches people with his.
Well, you know what it is? It's what was Keanu Reeves' new one?
Why is he always whisper when he talks?
John Wick.
John Wick. It's John Wick only. Not
I heard
as
John Wick was like
crazy.
5 minutes of plot and then like 95 minutes of awesome
shooting people in the face.
A lot of it.
It's punch shooting.
90 minutes of shooting people in the cheeks.
I don't disagree that John Wick is an awesome action movie for that reason. But how could you have not have made that movie better? By having a giant surfer dude looking alien sucking endorphins out of people's heads and shooting people with a gun that shoots explosions.
It was horrible.
How could that not
getting
it
back to that
but
comment,
he
I'm
looks
glad.
Like he's from like 87.
We are full circle now, which leads me to the next point. Why is there no recoil in guns in the early 90s and late 80s? None. You can run. You can shoot
it's
from
all
the
just
hip.
Powder.
You can just like just aim. You can laugh while you shoot your gun because it's funny to shoot guns.
That's true.
There's no.
Where did they
you know,
start holding the gun sideways? I remember Tequila Sunrise. Yeah.
Those were gangsters.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's kind of that's
like
hood rat shit. I think is where that started.
Yeah.
So.
Or I think at some point like Mel Gibson holds his gun like this in Tequila Sunrise. I'm like, what the fuck? Because I know there's the you know the inverted gun where you hold
yeah
point down, but he was like. like this, like trying to menace Kurt Russell, like, I'm going to shoot you.
Like this.
With his palm up. I'm holding just, the
yeah.
gun.
Do this. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm. I could be wrong. Now we got to watch the trailer for Tequila Sun.
I guess we do.
I'm with Alex. Yeah. It's the Hood Rats and the Hoochie Mamas.
That's right.
What were you saying? We went full circle around to...
Well, we came back to no gun recoil.
Right. So what is the deal?
Alien technology.
No. I think it was... All right. So Colin was on key with this. We're in the 80s, men were men.
They can hold a gun?
Fuck recoil. You don't have these bitchy little guys running around. No, I've got a muscular, tough Swede just running around. Or what is he, French?
Swedish.
Yeah, he's Swedish. Yeah. Recoil? No, I've got muscles. I'm not a bitch. Like Jason Statham? He's kind of a bitch. He's like a little weak Brit wrist. I mean, no.
He can also kick very well.
He's a kicker.
He's a kicker. Well, he's a full package.
He's a better actor in a lot of ways than the Royd guys were, unfortunately.
That's
what Statham is going for. But as we were talking about earlier, Statham doesn't have the fucking character.
Have you seen Statham?
Yeah.
I haven't.
No, yeah, I have.
Can we just describe Travis's face for the viewers at home here? Because was that it? That was it,
that
right?
Was like, Statham?
Yeah.
Like, he was in a movie.
Looked as if he was pleading not guilty.
See Aaron Hernandez.
It wasn't me.
I mean, most of the Royd guys, like, they don't necessarily have scenes in the movies where they're like, my wife!
Dolph Lundgren had a scene here where his partner was killed and he seemed pretty broken up by him.
Yeah, but like 2 minutes later, he was just on the case again.
Well, and then he like looked at the picture of his wife and he's like, I also miss her. You know? Yeah.
Well, his mourning the death of his partner was like,
job to do.
No, Ray, no. That was about as far as it went.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Statham was in a movie called Oh my God, it's like so long ago that I can't even remember. It wasn't The Bank Job.
It
was a drama where he was
the saddened clown.
Yeah, he was sad Statham.
Tears for Jason.
What the fuck? It says he's Airport Man in Collateral.
Airport Man.
Maybe that was
the worst superhero ever.
Oh, dude, the Italian Job. He was Handsome Rob.
All right,
he was
really good in it. So, Colin, you're obviously Team Statham, right?
Team Statham. Yes, all the way.
We just like kickers.
Who wins in a fight, Statham or Lundgren?
Ooh.
I think
Lundgren. He's
and now,
a genius.
And,
I
think Lundgren. And then give me rationale for why. So this is
okay.
This
wait.
Directly
we're talking
to Colin.
About. We're talking about
in like, their prime, both of them.
Oh, okay. So if we reverse.
Oh,
Dolph
so now
Lundgren,
that the real man Dolph is going to fight little
see,
bitch Statham, you're retracting
well,
new your argument.
Dolph Lundgren, like Expendables
acting skill
era,
has nothing to
Dolph
do with
Lundgren,
it.
Dolph Lundgren, I think, would be a more because he's built up a lot more muscle, and yeah. I think probably he could punch a lot better. But he's got a lot more, you know, like
agility.
I think he's got less. I think Statham wins on the agility front. Statham's wiry and he can keep moving, I think. And Lundgren's
yeah,
like, would be
one
like...
One haymaker.
Yeah,
Statham is
well,
gone.
If Lundgren connects, done.
Lundgren will like break
gone.
His ribs. See, like, as soon as he starts working the ribs.
You say if like it's an uncertainty. He inevitably will land one because how many of your like stealthy little Statham punches is it going to take to actually hurt Dolph?
Yeah, dude, that guy.
He could jump up on his like throat.
No, but he's actually kind of like crazy, isn't he? He's like kind of half crazy, right? He's a little
Statham.
No, Lundgren.
Yeah, he just go berserk mode like... and just flip him through a wall, and then all of a sudden it's just.
I think Statham has to count on either a neck twist, like you know
a Vulcan neck pinch might do
a neck
it too.
Pinch what do you call this
right here, the,
oh yeah
a palm
the, last,
the,
the last yeah. Boy Scout where you yeah. punch the you hit the guy
palm
in the nose,
of the nose.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
shatter his
or some
you push it up into the brain
yeah like he has to debilitate Lundgren like right off the bat yeah. Otherwise I think that it's going to be like, you know, the fly swatter to the fly. He's going to, like, Lundgren's going to kill him, right?
All right, so, Travis, what do you think, then? Looks like it's me and Brent against...
I'm a Lundgren guy, man. He's got more power, more brutality. Statham's a pretty boy.
He is. He rides a...
But Statham would be in better movies, because he's a better actor. He does more stuff. I mean, you look at
I don't care
career,
about acting.
He's
has never
like,
had anything to do
movies.
With action.
Here, I will refer back to Expendables one more time. All
right, what for?
Okay. Name all of the muscle heads, right? They all ride hogs, tough, like, dude motorcycles.
Yep.
What does Statham ride? Fucking crotch rocket. Like a bitch.
Motherfucking
yeah. He's also the youngest rocket. Of them, am
damn
I right?
Rice burner.
Yeah, why can't a young guy ride, like a young tough guy ride, like a, you know, a Harley Davidson? Wearing a leather vest, smoking a cigarette? No, he's got to go.
Statham's like, got in his contract, he's like, I can't have blood on my cheek.
He's got to go scare a guy at a basketball court and stab a basketball with his knife. Like, no. Yeah,
I don't think in the 80s Statham would have been what he is today.
No, he wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just because we have no other. Who else do you have besides Statham? Vin Diesel? I mean, we got no action stars nowadays. Well, don't Statham's like, ooh.
We got Arnold back.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, really?
He is back.
Maggie does not look like he's in his action movie prime.
Yeah.
Stallone.
What do you have for action? You got a bunch of women. You got Kate Beckinsdale and Mila Jovovich.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Unfortunately,
well, yeah.
Well, you know, I like there are no.
Until they just overdid her. Like every Resident Evil fucking movie, it's just like Jesus.
That's because men are the devil now. So.
Yeah, and Angelina Jolie was.
We've been keeping them down for too long.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you guys aren't going to see the Statham movies to tell people like we want more like
I don't know your guy action movies. I want like
we got goddamn Avengers. We've got Superman. We've got Batman.
A bunch of superheroes. Like now, I'm gonna say I was like Thor can kick fucking Statham's ass.
Oh, Thor could. Yeah.
When's Statham gonna get a Marvel movie?
Never.
Probably never.
Unless they make up a superhero that's a total bitch, they probably won't.
Well, he's the only guy who's like, he's the only action guy. He's the only guy who's got like a career, like you said, right now being like, he's a brand. Where like, if Statham's in a movie, you will go see it because Statham's in. Maybe you won't.
Yeah.
But people do because his movies make money and they go to theaters. Where Dolph Lundgren, unfortunately, makes a movie with Tony fucking Jaa in it.
Well, yeah,
Tony Jaa. It's called The Skin Trade. It's coming out. It's not going to go to theaters.
I know.
It's going to go direct to goddamn video.
Well, he can't help that.
Van Damme's got A Pound of Flesh coming out. Guess what? Going to video. Jason Statham goes to theater.
Well, wait till fucking Jason Statham's fucking 58. He'll be on video. Yeah. Trust me.
Yeah, but it's going to be VOD. You're going to make your money back on that shit. We're all good.
Dude, I guarantee
that's the digital age.
That's the future right there.
These guys are lasting into their later years. Well, I guarantee Statham will be forgotten by the time he's
Statham
even,
will be like, in a rom-com by the time he hits.
How long is that guy been? When was Lock and Stock in Two Smoking Barrels?
92-ish, 3-ish, 4-ish.
So that's like 20
96. I'm saying 96.
So was, almost 20
years.
You can
just say the 90s.
Was Gerard Butler supposed to be an action guy, and then he did like 10 rom-coms right after?
Yeah, he fucked
himself. Who?
No, he's in London as Gerard Butler. The sequel to Olympus Has Fallen. He's still action, dude.
Oh, that's a sequel?
Yeah.
London Is Falling.
Oh, sequel Jesus. To Olympus Has Fallen.
Can we wrap really?
Wow.
You just hate action movies.
I do. I do.
I think we should have more fantasy, like, action movie fights, you know, like Dolph Lundgren versus... What else you got? Or do we wrap this up?
I'm trying to think of some. Like you're talking current right now, right?
I would like to see. I would like to see a Tango and Cash sequel, if possible.
This podcast is getting off the fucking rails here.
Yeah,
that's all right. That's all right.
All right, let's summon Igor. Igor, are you around?
Masters, the mail. I've got the mail. So many letters. Our followers are rising.
All right, thanks, Igor. Coming at us from Facebook. By the way, if you have anything you want to say to us about this podcast or any others, you can get a hold of us on Facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. Or you can go over to our website where we've got a whole bunch of episodes. I think over 150 maybe now. As far as we've been doing this for 3 years, folks. It's SaturdayNightFreakShow.blogspot.com. But anyway, Thomas J. Keene. You ever heard of this guy?
No.
He wrote to us. I said on there, what's your favorite Dolph Lundgren movie? Tom Keene says, Rocky IV, of course. Is there any other option? Question mark. I think there is, Tom.
Clearly
Drago.
Yeah, I've got an answer for him. I come in peace.
And Dark Angel.
That's like three movies.
Yeah. You get. All in one.
Shane O'Neill says he loves this movie, though he knows it is Dark Angel. I come in peace. Yeah, well, you leave in pieces, asshole.
Line,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can we send him a gift?
Oh, actually, I have a question about that. Is that line in the trailer? Because, like, I seem to recall, like,
out the asshole.
They have you leave in pieces. Yeah.
You leave in pieces. Yeah.
Which, like, that they have no respect for, like, the one-liners in the 90s. Like, having that in the trailer.
You can't do that.
You can't. You have it to say that.
Literally concludes the movie, and you fucking drop
that. Dude, I bet most 90s action movies have the one-liner in the trailers.
Probably. I bet. Because they didn't realize what they had. Like, that is.
No, that's what they were selling, though. That you want to go there for that part.
For that moment, so everybody can go, I saw that at home on my TV, and now it's on the big screen.
And then I paid money to see it again later.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
They didn't put that line from Time Cop in the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
What was the... I should have said... Oh, God, I can't remember.
I should have said cool off or something. Yeah. I should have said freeze, I think is what it was.
That's the worst.
See our Time Cop podcast if you want to find out what we're talking about.
Indeed. So Brent is in the chair tonight to start us off with wrap-ups.
I am.
Surprise.
Yeah.
You didn't see this coming.
I did not.
You're up first.
I Come in Peace, or Dark Angel. Is that what it's Dark Angel? Yeah. Yeah. It's
not to be confused with the James Cameron TV show of the same name.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think early on watching this film, I think Travis said it, like, it feels like a TV show, like the opening to like a cop drama. Like the credits seem to go on longer than they should, or they're
music
or,
by Jan Hammer from Miami Vice.
Yes. And it also, is that what it was? Maybe that's what I was noticing. I don't know. But it's very, like, the opening, the pacing of the film is very, very quick. Like, there's this music that Colin's talking about that's playing. There's this drug deal going down in some sort of nightclub type situation. And, like, you're seeing all this happen. And, like, you don't really know too much about the film at this point. I don't even think you see Dolph Lundgren right away, do you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're like, it's his partner that you're kind of following. But at some point, an alien shows up and the pacing completely changes. And I think they stick with it throughout the rest of the film. It's more of like, here's alien moments. Here's this police, you know, action movie. Here's alien moment. Here's police action movie. Here's, you know, it goes on and on and on like that. And I think that Travis, it was most frustrating to you, obviously, watching it, because you were talking about it a lot. That you felt like this, like these two movies running side by side, were never going to never going to meet up together, coincide together. And I felt that way too. I felt it didn't feel like a fully thought out story, perhaps. Not to say that it wasn't awesome. I mean, it has enough of Okay. In the 90s, I would have loved this film. Like the 10-year-old me, going to the theater and seeing this, I would have been blown away, right? But by today's standards, I think that I wanted more from it. But like, there's still enough of the immaturity in me that I still love. I love the explosions. I love the one-liners. what can you say? It is kind of a forgettable film. I think that tonight, like, we have gone off on a lot of tangents because, like, what can you say about it? You know, like, how much can you really say about it? It's a fun movie to watch with your friends, right? And tonight we watched it outside on a projection screen. We left that out
the entire time.
Yeah.
It was like 10 feet tall on my garage door.
It was incredible. It looked great.
We watched it on a 20-foot screen. And it was a beautiful night. The stars were out and we were cracking jokes the whole time. And I think that that's the way you need to watch these movies from the early 90s and 80s and whatever, you know. I mean, it definitely falls into the category of, by today's standards, cheese or camp, or, you know, what does Tom say? It's got the 90s stank on it. It does have a 90s stank. I mean, the lighting, everything is, it's very the not pastels, but it's the neons. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And it has that feeling all the way through it. There's some pretty good homoeroticism in it. So watch it for that if you're into that. If you're not, that's cool too. But overall, I think that I wouldn't watch it on my own. So it's so hard for me to pass. Alex, I don't know if you know this, but I rarely pass on movies, but I'm going to pass on this one. I think it's you know, if you catch it on TBS in the middle of the night, maybe check it out while you fall asleep. But other than that, I don't know. I had fun watching it tonight, but man, it kills me. I got to pass on it.
This is a man who likes Tango and Cash.
I like Tango and Cash. I know, but I didn't.
Also with awesome explosions, but I mean, what the?
I didn't see this when I was young. Like I said, if I was younger, I would have.
I mean, I had to make jokes this whole movie, or else I was just going to sit there for like 2 hours and be bored out of my fucking mind. I thought this movie was just like, oh my god, just painfully slow to me. I thought the movie was really slow. That's why I was driving crazy. It was like, these fucking cops are just going around talking about what happened in the first scene, and this alien keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again. It was just like, fuck, man, this movie's not moving forward, man. We're still stuck at that first scene somehow. Like, everything that happened in the first 10 minutes, you just saw over and over again, or you saw explained over again for, like, the next 20 minutes. It's just like, son of a bitch, man. This is fucking a quarter of a movie. It's just this one scene, really. And it's just like, all right, now let's think about this again. A guy comes here. Dead body's here. It's like, fuck! You know? It's just like, I don't know. I've never liked action movies. I just don't. Especially...
There's our key phrase right there in this review.
Yeah, I hate 90s... American action movies. They've never done anything for me. I appreciate it when people can kick really good. but that's not enough to be like, dude, you want to watch an hour and a half of this guy kicking? Cool. Let's do that. Are there explosions? Oh, yeah. Sounds good. Sounds like an evening. I just can't dig that. It's like, man, why not even just watch like a shitty martial arts movie from the 70s to actually get some martial arts in there, like some real martial arts? Why? I just never understood what Americans thought. I mean, to me, Americans doing like any martial arts from like the 80s and 90s, I mean, it's all a joke, right? I mean, I can't imagine what like the people over there think of our martial arts movies. They're going to be like, they're so slow. I mean, they're just like, there's no choreography. They're just like, I'm going to kick you, and it's going to take you out because you're just a bad guy with a gun. But I've got a roundhouse.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It's not a martial arts
somehow
movie.
Somehow I'm not a, like, I don't know. Like, I can always, like, laugh at, like, a giant spider movie or something like that. But somehow, like, watching, like, once, you know, usually bad foreign actors that can barely like get through our language or have almost any emotion. But then again, they always had these characters have like almost no emotion, right? They always had to be these super cool guys that like don't give you anything, right? They're all like man with no name sort of characters or whatever, where it's just like, I'm the action man. I'm the guy that they need, that the cops call to fucking like take out everybody and like, you know, I'm pretty, but, yeah, I don't know. These type of movies bore the fuck out of me. Even if you throw an alien with a spiky wrist gauntlet, yeah. I'm like, yeah, not for me, sir.
That's a pass for you?
Yeah, always.
All right, well, fuck both of you.
What?
I'm going to jump on the take it. What do take you say? What do you say when you like the movie? This is my first time.
Whatever like you want.
I like it.
How about like 5 neck slits?
Yeah, you know, I'm a man of simple tastes, okay? If I like anything, I like America. Unlike my communist friend here, Travis.
Whoa, who's a veteran at this
Travis,
table?
Travis, but this is my time to talk, and I love America. I love rock and roll, and I love roundhouse kicks. Right? All three of those things have the letter R in them, so there's a common theme. But I didn't come here tonight to watch a movie that, you know, I thought had cinematic value. I came to watch a shitty movie with explosions and ass kicking, and I got that.
And gratuitous boobs.
Yeah, there were boobs too. Yeah, it was weird. It was
they got to stop over to strip club every 90s movies.
Yeah, you know that's how it is. But
40 foot boobs.
Yeah,
42-year-old boobs. That's what you're about to say. 42-year-old.
Ultimately, what mattered was I got what I was looking for. I wanted a sequel to Commando, and they delivered it for me. I got a Dolph Lundgren version of Commando. And yeah, there were some aliens in it. It was great. I had very low expectations. You got to set your bar low. Why expect something that's going to be more than what you walk into? Who here, raise your hands right now, and I'll tell everyone. Who thought this was going to be a really good movie that we'd all talk about and rave about? No hands? Nope.
You gotta hope.
Zero hands
even
were raised.
It's like something cheesy from the 80s. You gotta hope that.
Travis, no hands were raised.
All right, Alex, I have a question.
Shoot, yeah.
If you were home alone and like nobody else was with you, would you watch this movie? Like if you came across it
on TBS.
Yeah, even though I suggested to do this, would you stay with it?
You have to choose to put it in your site. It can't just be on and you just leave it there. This is, do you choose?
All right. No, let me give you this.
Yeah,
then.
That's
all
better.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen this movie, and this is assuming that I have seen it, and I'm flipping through. Let's just say it lands on Netflix, and I'm flipping through. I'm by myself. I happen to have 3 bottles of wine at home.
Mm.
Okay.
And I'm flipping through. No. The wine, I haven't drank the 3 bottles yet, okay? I know I have them, so I'm thinking, okay, tonight's going to be a good night. Yeah, I'll click on that movie. I'll watch it. I'll watch it again. I think there's some
value
there.
Create a drinking game for it?
Most definitely, yeah.
The explosion.
I'll guarantee you I'll need a 4th bottle of wine, which ties right into the movie. That was strike number 4. Mic drop. Colin, to you.
Yeah, I mean, I like this movie. I think, you know, obviously there's some nostalgia to it. You know, like, I mean, I've had to sit through Time Cop and The Giver. I think this movie's better than both of those.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Because this movie actually, what? I think, like, has... this is a personal taste.
I guess it is.
And, like I said, there could be the nostalgia that you brought to Time Cop and that you brought to, respectively, Travis and brought to
Giver. Giver's like the Superman of Japan. No, sir.
Time travel.
No, right. So this movie is my favorite Dolph Lundgren movie. I remember when I watched it the first time, it was like, you know, you'd see him as Ivan Drago or as the henchman in this, or like, you know, the muscle-bound, you know, do you hear me? Soldier and Universal Soldier, but in this he was actually trying to play a human cop. Trying, I said.
And he sounded like one too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, this is like the most human Dolph Lundgren that we've seen in a movie. I mean, it's kind of, you know, now it's like looking back at that genre, it's like generic, you know, kind of that they, you know, the storyline, the cop, it's the buddy cop thing, but I think that's where... That's what the movie actually is. It's a buddy cop movie where you've got these two mismatched partners like dealing with each other for the entire movie. And this alien thing happens, you know, in the side as a sidebar that eventually ties into the story that they're, you know, in. So it's like, and did we even fucking mention alien bounty hunters? I don't think we did.
I think it did.
We said there was another guy, but he's like a bounty hunter chasing this guy down. There's like, there's the hidden, there's critters, and there's fucking I come in peace. Alien bounty hunter movies. He shoots fucking CDs out of his goddamn arm. He's wearing trench coats, running around. There's car chases. There's explosions like you wouldn't fucking believe. I'm not saying this is high art, ladies and gentlemen. I'm saying that it's well-executed schlock.
Can I well get an executed. Amen? That's
great. Yeah.
Thank you.
It's
Colin.
Done really well. Now, it was from 1990. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, you got to temper your expectations with that, but... And this is, I'm apologizing for the movie. It's a lot of fun, god damn it. And you'll enjoy it. Whether you find it under I Come in Peace or Dark Angel, now available on Blu-ray from Shout Factory.
Colin, tomorrow you have nothing to do. Okay, a week, a year from now, you have nothing to do. Do you put in I Come in Peace?
I recommended that we watch Alone. It on the Saturday Night Freak Show.
I, you know what, Colin? I'm so glad that you're on my side.
Least, I brought it here.
I come in peace.
At
great
least
movie.
The schlock I actually watch on my own for actual fun. At least really love my schlock.
Can we note, now I know Travis gave a real negative review of this. Would Brent and Colin agree? Travis had a good time watching it. Now, if we were to record this, Travis was engaged. He had fun. He was laughing. He was.
I had a glass of Blackheart, and we were outside, so I can smoke.
I think that played into it because you were like, "Oh, this movie's never going to end," because like every scene was like a new thing, right? Yeah. And then like it just kept on, and it was like it just to you the pace was off. And you kept on mentioning it, and Brent was picking up on it. I'm like, if you wouldn't say anything, I don't think he would have felt it the same way. That's what happens.
So you're saying Travis fucked this whole thing up?
I think Travis fucked it up.
Travis ruined the night.
Because we were on this.
Yeah, Colin and I had a blast. We were having a great time. Just two dudes watching a movie, you know?
But no, I'm not saying that because, like, the next party I have, I'll put this in. I'm just saying, like, I'm never going to watch it again, like, on my own or, like, the party situation.
Okay. You know, that's a valid point.
But this
I gotcha.
I would say it is actually a guilty pleasure of mine. I mean, I saw it, you know, again, in the theater. I saw it. I probably had a pirate tape, whatever. Back in the day when you recorded from deck to deck VHS.
What?
I had a VHS copy
VHS
of this
machine?
On my VHS machine.
What the fuck is that?
Right. It's kind of like VCRs.
my VHS player. I'm not the only one, damn it. I heard a podcast this fucking week where a guy said my VHS machine, or my VHS player. And I'm like, aha, there you go. VCR. That's VCR. Video cassette recorders for you, young.
I wish I could. Hold for laughter.
Yeah.
Hold for applause.
I didn't own the DVD.
Do we know? Oh, we don't know what podcast that was.
Said that started like 2 years ago. Hollywood, we keep making fun of him.
So that's it. I come in peace. There, we're done.
Yeah.
Done. So that means next week Travis is picking a movie for us to sit in judgment of.
We're gonna watch my favorite Jap slasher, Black Rat. That's a Japanese slasher movie. It's a
race.
Why'd you have to use a racial slur?
It's not racist. It's just shortening it. It's the same thing as saying
racist.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
You gotta look it up.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Slasher.
Yeah. It's only racist if you fuckers bring attention to it.
Or if you go slap Japs or slash Japs.
It's all go downhill. So that's next week on the Saturday Night Freak Show. As always, you can check us out, facebook.com/Saturday Night Freak Show. Tell us what you're thinking about this show, and we'll probably read the goddamn thing on the air. What you say verbatim or embellished, as we tend to do because we are drinking. And until then, next week, my friends, the basement's going dark.